Welkom bij de Over Klanten Gesproken podcast, aflevering 55.
Welkom bij Over Klanten Gesproken. De podcast voor de professional die dagelijks met klanten bezig is. Jouw wekelijkse dosis kennis, inspiratie en energie voor de volgende stap naar een betere klantbeleving. Met uw host, Sydney Brouwer.
Hey, wat leuk dat je weer luistert naar een nieuwe aflevering van Over Klanten Gesproken. Mijn naam is Sydney Brouwer en in deze aflevering heb ik iemand te gast waar ik al langere tijd mee samenwerk. Het gaat over Morgan Thomas. Morgan Thomas is, zou je kunnen zeggen, wel expert op het gebied van transformaties. Zowel leiderschapstransformaties als cultuurtransformaties. En dat is waar hij dan ook al 25 jaar lang werkzaam in is. En dat is interessant, want Morgan komt uit Zuid-Afrika. Spreek daarom ook Engels. Deze aflevering is dan ook verder in het Engels. Maar als je een beetje de historie van Zuid-Afrika kent, dan weet je dat de transformatie daar een ongelooflijk belangrijke rol in heeft gespeeld. En ja, Morgan is opgegroeid in de tijd van apartheid in Zuid-Afrika. En heeft die hele shift in het land meegemaakt en heeft daar ook een rol in gespeeld. En die kennis, die ervaring neemt hij mee in zijn huidige werk in organisatietransformaties. Heel interessant dus, daar gaan we het over hebben. Het concept transformatie in leiders, in organisaties, in culturen en wat daarvoor nodig is. In het Engels dus, maar goed volgbaar. Dus dat gaat voor jou geen enkel probleem zijn, gok ik zo. En ik heb Morgan niet voor niks uitgenodigd. Want in september organiseer ik samen met Morgan de masterclass Klantgericht Leiderschap. Een masterclass die eigenlijk ook gaat over transformatie. Hoe ga jij als leider veranderen in wie je bent, in wat je doet, om uiteindelijk jouw organisatie ook te veranderen richting klantgerichtheid, richting werkelijke customer centricity. En daar komt best wel wat bij kijken. Daar gaan we het in deze aflevering onder andere over hebben. Maar ik kan me voorstellen dat je meer informatie wil over die masterclass Klantgericht Leiderschap op 20 en 21 september. Die zal trouwens plaatsvinden in het Pulitzer Hotel in Amsterdam. Een van de meest klantgerichte omgevingen die ik ken. Dus je wordt echt 2 dagen ondergedompeld in een waanzinnig gave omgeving. En waar we hard aan de bak gaan met klantgericht leiderschap. Als dat nou iets voor jou is, of voor je collega, of voor je manager, of je directeur, kijk dan op sydneybrouwer.nl/55, de show notes bij deze aflevering. En daar vind je een linkje naar de pagina van de masterclass. Daar krijg je meer informatie. En natuurlijk kan je me mailen of bellen als je meer informatie daarover wil. Goed, sydneybrouwer.nl/55 voor meer informatie over deze aflevering en de masterclass. En dan gaan we nu luisteren naar mijn gesprek met Morgan Thomas. Hallo Morgan.
Hi, Sydney. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. Yeah, we've been working together for a while now in the areas of customer-centric culture, customer-centric leadership. We've been leading management team workshops together to transform companies into more customer-centric cultures.
Yep.
Today, we're going to talk about transformation and what it needs in a leader to transform a company, to what it takes for a leader to transform him or herself. And what it takes to transform a culture in an organization. But first, who is Mr. Morgan Thomas?
Yes, hi, good. This is me, this is Morgan, and obviously some of you don't know, but I'm originally from South Africa. So born, bred there, grew up there, had an interesting career path, and then been in the space of transformation, culture, working with people for many, many, many years now. Traveled all over the world. Luckily, worked with very senior organizations in the space of transformation, culture, and mindset.
So you've had an interesting career, interesting life, because you grew up in South Africa where there was apartheid.
Yes,
and you started your career in the Navy.
Yes,
as a special forces diver.
Yes,
what was the most important thing you learned about transformation in the Navy?
Oh. I think two key elements of that makes a big, big, big difference is you don't realize how important your teammates are. It's in those tough times, in those times when you want to break down or give up or let go. You want to, you know, there's that structure where they're going to willpower you or stand next to you or pick you up to go forward. And so your team becomes you and you become your team. So your individualism falls away and you become more bigger than yourself or something bigger than yourself. I think it's very important to take away. And then the ability to persevere. You know, you always hear the adage or people speaking about they always get close to their optimal place in life or just close enough to break through their business and people give up. And you find that many, many times going through these types of courses. So, you know, the ability to push and then the joy of getting through where you thought you couldn't. I think that's something anybody can take away and enjoy and you know, keep for themselves.
Nice. So you can do it alone. That's one.
Yeah.
And the second is pushed through when it gets hard.
Yeah, persevere.
Persevere. So today, talking about transformation, and I've got a statement for you. Let's see if you agree with that.
Okay.
The only way to transform a company or transform a culture is either with a change of leaders. So you need other leaders in your company or a change within the leaders that are already there. But that takes a personal transformation.
Mm.
What do you think about that statement? Do you agree?
Let's go back for a second. The way you said it, you said the only way to transform a company is through leaders. I think leaders is an aspect of a transformation of a company. I think there's more to it. So it's a complex environment. Yes, you have people playing in the game and you have moms and dads. You can call them the leaders. But there's a much bigger context. There's the environment that these people work inside of. I won't touch on all those subjects, but clearly the environment. So is the environment, you know, one of creativity, openness, spontaneity, being human, or is the environment one of control, constraints, contracting? And so I think it's a double-edged sword. One is environment, processes, structures, how the culture is in the organization is all then set by leaders.
Yeah.
So yes, they are pivotal. But I don't like to just lay it all on leaders, but they are going to drive and make the environment, the processes and the people and the thinking change.
Because you say environment is a vital aspect for a culture.
Yeah.
But the environment is set by the leaders, by the managers in the organization for the most part, right?
Yes, 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 exactly, yes.
So they are necessary, crucial for this transformation.
Critical for a transformation because how do I say that? You got to think of it like if you want to forge the way forward, you're going to have to always have someone take a first step, and then that person needs to take the first step in a way that people want to follow that first step. So there's a role modeling aspect, but mostly. Mostly, if there's a lack of belief in the ability of being customer-centric and seeing the value of that, your leaders are not going to pull the organization to a next place.
And interesting you say, because that is a question I get a lot. How do I convince my leaders that this is the right way forward, that we need to transform into a customer-centric organization? Is that a belief that you can instill with someone, that you can install with someone, that you can put in their head, or does it need to come from an intrinsic kind of motivation?
Big question.
We got time.
All right. So first of all, you know, everybody, let's start. You can take the horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink the water.
Yeah.
So I think intrinsically you need to, a human being is made up of a series of attitudes. Those attitudes form a series of beliefs. And eventually, if those beliefs are held over long periods of time, they form certain given perceptions, right? So if you're looking to transform anyone from leader to an individual on the shop floor, you first need to go into and look into what are their current attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions that generally are unconscious for most of them because they're habitual, they're there. But often they don't see that these things are shaping their thinking, their feeling, and their acting towards being customer-centric. So doing a paper exercise and building a customer-centric strategy and doing the normal 101 where you give it to the manager, he shares it once with his team, and you believe that this leader or manager is now going to go and actually stand up and make the difference, change the environment, the people and the thinking is the wrong way to go about it. You need to start with the leader. And in some way, you need to dig up the past of that leader and have them confront their own limiting and empowering beliefs, or the limiting ones especially, that they need to break through to be able to own, take responsibility, and walk their talk in the area. When that's done, then you have true buy-in. And then in a large manner, you're not managing the leader anymore. You're actually facilitating him to go forth and lay this new opportunity and culture down.
So it's about changing beliefs, values, maybe and perceptions, so that they can be a different leader. Yes. That they are being even a different person.
Well, you could say a different person, but that's a very hard thing for people to understand. How are you going to change me as a person? Nobody changes me. Nobody changes you. But
yeah,
you know, what is a person? You know, who are you? I suppose it's just a series of conversations you've created about yourself. But Jez, I like the word you're using on being, and it's a misunderstood concept, because often what is being? So if you are thinking and feeling some way about something, and your thinking and feeling is aligned, a state of being starts to show up for the person. So if you're thinking positively and you're feeling joyously, there clearly won't be a state of being of sadness there, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine a leader getting up in the morning, consciously thinking of and being the model and the role model of a leader that provides and acts in a customer-centric way. Mm-hmm. You could imagine then that there'd be a certain energy, a certain impact, certain type of conversations that suddenly that leader would start to exude or express with their workforce. And that in its own is the beginning of the belief, and in its own is what starts to impact the mindset of the leader and the person. So being definitely creates doing, which then of course produces certain results.
Be, do.
And have things, yeah. Or in another way, you could say there's how they perceive customer centricity, the actions they take, because perception is always driven out of actions. And the actions are the behaviors, and those behaviors produce results. And I think fundamentally where we or people can make a mistake is you focus too much on the box called action. So these are the actions to be a customer-centric leader. Don't do this. Please do that. Won't make a lasting change. You're trying to get the leader to perceive and see why they're doing that and what they're doing. And when they own that and be responsible for that, then the actions are more natural and normal, and then you don't have to manage the box called behavior, but you're managing the box called perceptions.
Cool. This we've done this several times for different companies, and it's a very interesting process to see where the leaders that we work with go through. Mm-hmm. Can get uncomfortable. Mm. Mainly for them sometimes.
Yeah.
Why is that?
We're creatures of habit. And being creatures of habit, you get to think and feel the same way in a predictable way pretty much day in and day out. So you can imagine that you kind of get out of the same bed the same way every day. You brush your teeth the same way you ever do in the mornings. You go down, you have that same cup of coffee from the same cup you have every day.
Yeah.
You jump in your car in a rush normally, or on the metro in the rush, to go in there to rush to work, to do some emails the same way you did it. You sit in the meeting and scratch your nose the same way and have the same kind of attitude in the same meeting you've always done.
It's actually quite scary to see how much we do on them automatically without thinking.
Yes.
I'm doing this mind space, headspace meditation exercise now. Okay. On my phone. Good. And I got this text message that said, yeah, try to brush your teeth. Yes. With your different hand.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
And you go crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But a moment you do that, Sydney, the power of that is you are suddenly firing and wiring new neural pathways, because you are bringing change to your life. And that's back to your original point. We like to stay in the known, in the familiar as people. And so brushing your teeth with the left hand is unknown and feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I've never had anybody make a change or a transformation in their life that didn't feel uncomfortable.
No.
So it comes with a space of feeling uncomfortable. And it's just human. Riding a bicycle for the first time feels uncomfortable. And then after a period of time, you know, you can have one foot up there, you're driving with one hand, you know, you've got a, glass of water in your other hand, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is that people, human beings, need to enjoy and pull towards them the uncomfortableness of life. And with that commitment, some change happens, and it normally is a deeper change.
And that is where the cliche, the magic happens outside of your comfort zone, comes from.
Yes.
You now explained it more scientifically in brain, how it works in the brain.
Yes, a little bit, yes.
All right, so yes. First, we need a transformation in the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Himself or mm-hmm. herself, change mm-hmm. the beliefs, change the way he or she sees things, perceive things.
Oh.
That can happen. That is possible. Very happy. We've done it. We've seen it. It's great. That's also what we're gonna do in the masterclass. We're gonna talk about that later in this episode.
Yes.
But the masterclass on customer-centric leadership, we're gonna do together.
Correct.
But when that happens, you need to make that transformation bigger than yourself. You need to get the people in your company with you. What is the first step you would say to inspire others to build this new version of their company with you?
Okay, so we're saying that, let's say they've gone through a personal transformation, they've seen their own needs, their own wants, they've established, let's call it, their own customer-centric project is what they're going to do in the masterclasses, right? And now they've got to go walk back in front of their organization and start to have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Is that where we are? Yeah. again, another misunderstood concept, and yet it needs to be addressed quite deeply, is there's a lack of engagement when a leader is often talking and speaking to their people. So what do I mean by that? If you as a leader have the skill set to talk in a way that is in the world of other people, and that other people can see their own personal need met, their own personal interest in that conversation. So if you can touch people on a personal level as well as on a business or organizational level, and you can have a conversation in such a way that allows people to have a choice to say no, I feel the stronger you have give people the right to say no, the bigger the opportunity is for them to say yes. So it's an engaging conversation that in itself is an invitation that is based on them seeing and being enrolled and excited in this new future. And they make a personal choice for themselves out of that. And that's a fairly artful thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you want to manipulate, or you want to tell them what to do, or you're impatient and they've got to hurry up and do it, or you insincerely trying to cajole them and get them to do it, but you're nice and sweet. And so it really takes powerful engagement. Step one is standing and having conversations one-on-one and with the organization to make the turn. And it is a one-on-one conversation. This is the misunderstanding. A, repetition's important. But it's a living and breathing thing that you're going to keep repeating and engaging in a way that people can see their own interests in it.
So getting people to work with you on a new version of your organization, the customer-centric version of your organization, mm. it's not about telling them, this is what we are going to do.
Mm.
But it's more like you said, an invitation. This is what I envision.
Yep.
For our organization, for
yes.
our future,
yep.
are you? Yep. Do you want to build this with me together?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And then there's an opportunity to say yes or no. What if the answer is no?
You know, you need to respect the no. You can start a further engagement conversation to look at what's been in the way and what's stopping and blocking the person. You can have the person, you know, the more you can try and get into that world of the other person and make the change, you can make the change. Now, there's another side of it. You might just get a clean no, and you need to respect that no. Now, you're in an organization. An organization, by default, is there to produce results and make money. So that's an underlining point that everybody should know, and sometimes the concept of business and organization sometimes misunderstood. So then you should work out a powerful exit plan for that person if that's the way to go. But that would you want to keep that as a last resort, because generally human beings want to serve.
Yeah.
And generally human beings by default, in essence, what we are about is a big word, but we're about love.
About
love. Yes, yeah. Love. So in essence, being human to someone else, serving someone else, making a difference for another human being is very uplifting for your own well-being and who you are. It's the highest level. So if someone's a real no, it's often not in the space of the journey you're on, but it has normally got something to do with something that's happened in their past in the organization that's intrinsically not getting them to step on the train. So it's not normally the topic. It normally goes deeper with the individual, and it could deal with the organizational choices or their particular leader or boss, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to uncover those and see what's going on.
All right. Yeah. When we've led workshops, management leadership workshops in the past, there's always this powerful moment that we build up to. It's a moment of choice and a moment of declaration. And I found this very powerful. I also put it in my book, Klantgericht Leiderschap, Customer-Centric Leadership.
Yeah, and we're doing it in the masterclass, right?
Yeah. We're doing it in the masterclass. Yeah. Why is that moment of choice, that but even better, the moment of declaration? Mm. Why is that so powerful?
You have to understand a little bit about time for a second. So if I can point to time for a second.
Of course.
Yeah, we're sitting, we're having a nice time, we're having a podcast on in the present, right? We're in the present moment.
Yeah.
And a couple of seconds ago, we were in the past. And we have a future we're going to live into in the next couple of minutes, right?
We've got
some meetings, we've got some things tomorrow, this evening, etc. So, you know, the thing to ask you, Sydney, is have you ever physically been in the past? Physically?
No.
No, it's not physically.
No.
But
my head has been.
You've got some stories about it, and you've got some interpretations about your past, and those have turned into attitudes and beliefs and perceptions, right? So your past, right?
Emotions. And
exactly. There we go. And you've never physically been in the future, because you ain't going to be in the future, but you have an expectation of the future based on your past and what's happening in the present, right?
Yeah.
So have a look at that concept. It's pretty interesting. You're always in the present. You're always in the moment of now, right? But the thing about people is their past influences their present. So their past in a large sense is in their present, and sometimes they're projected to their future. Meaning if you've had a failure in life and it was an emotional, impactful failure on you, and you don't want to have that failure or embarrassment in your life again, you don't leave that decision and feeling in the past, you project that feeling and decision out into your future.
So you take the baggage from the past,
and the successes from the past, and you form a personality, an identity that says, I can do this and I can't do that, and I'm able to do this and I can't do that, and I do this and I do that. Now imagine if you get up every day and you don't consciously go and invent a future. You don't declare anything. You don't create anything. You don't go and alter your future. You're just going to be a better version of your past every day. You're just going to keep doing more of the same things, the same thinking, the same ways, the same doing things. So you default.
You're living your life on an automatic pilot.
On an automatic pilot, hoping that maybe one day there's going to be some change. But actually, if you don't declare something and create something in the future, you're not going to alter your past in any way. You're going to have more better versions of your past. So declaration is a powerful tool. I'll say a little bit more about that because there's something to know about declaration. It's not only declaring to yourself. You know, you don't go get married with your wife and then just quickly have a quiet, sit in a quiet room. You could, but, you know, most people don't. And have a little quiet room and say, hey, honey, do you love me? I love you. Yes, we declare this together. We do. Okay. It'll have only so much power and impact. You get all your friends out there, right? And all the people that love you. And you say, hey, listen, Mr. Minister, and, you know, my darling wife, I declare I will be your husband, you know, your husband for the rest of your life, blah, 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 through thick and thin. Blah, blah. Now, that has a certain power. Because in that moment, you're declaring a future and you're saying, hey, my good friends, you should hold me to account for that future. And if anybody's ever done that, there is a moment of real choice there where you actually feel, oh my gosh, I'm now married and this is what the rest of my life's going to be about.
Yeah.
So there's real ownership power and it changes your thinking, feeling and ways of acting.
And it gives you, as you said, accountability.
Yes.
So a choice in itself is not worth much.
Yeah.
Can we say it like that?
It's the beginnings.
But it only gets the power when you declare your choice to other people around you. And that's what happens in our workshops that we've done together.
Yes.
We get the management team together and get them to declare to each other that they make a choice to build a customer-centric culture,
correct,
transform into a customer-centric organization. And that makes it powerful because there's a lot of celebration afterwards and there's you really notice that there's a totally different vibe or atmosphere in the room when they did this.
Yes, yes.
And that's why a declaration is so important and powerful. And that's also what we are going to build on in the masterclass. Let me tell a little bit about the masterclass. It's going to be, the next one is going to be in September in 2018.
Yeah.
And it's a quite a special one because not only are we teaming up together to host a two-day masterclass on customer-centric leadership, it's also in quite a special place. It's in the Pulitzer Amsterdam, the famous Pulitzer Hotel, which is one of the most customer-centric organizations that I've ever encountered with a real customer-centric culture. And we're going to have the masterclass there. You're going to sleep, eat there.
Right.
To really indulge yourself or immerse yourself. Or how do you say it?
Emerge.
Immerse yourself into a customer-centric culture and see what that does, what it does to people and what the result is, what the outcomes are.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. Can you say a little bit more about the contents of the program?
Yes. Yeah. It's a big topic, but I think that just back on the hotel is fantastic. You know, taking the leaders out of the environment and not just putting them in the woods, but putting them in an environment that is customer centric immediately will start to create the thoughts and thinking and feelings that we need to create for this kind of workshop. The workshop's based on two key parts. One is the elements of it we're drawing completely out of the book. And I think it's great because together we've thought that through and we're going to deepen the aspects of the book so it moves from concept to practical exercises that they can apply and experience. So I think that's key. Ending on, which I think is powerful, with each leader walking away with a clear declaration and project that they're going to take and engage and roll out and execute on in their organizations. So I think that structure is very good because it gives the organizations and people's a buck for their value. They get money for what they got out of it and they're going to go and produce results in the organizations. Day one is really about having the leader break through the habit of being their old selves, of their old manager, their old leadership styles, their old perceptions, their old beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. And we do that in a very nice way. And of course, at some points that'll challenge people because they'll have to get out of the familiar and the known. They'll have to step out of their old belief systems. But we build that up to where at the end of that day, we start to develop the right skill sets. We start to deliver the right conversations and capabilities. And at the end of the day, they have a very powerful assignment they need to set up for day two. I don't want to give it away now, but But day one's really enthralling and empowering because they really start to get the possibility of being customer centric and who they can be and the difference they can make.
It's going to be amazing. Yep. We've been working on the program together. Yep. We've got quite a lot of interest already. Good. We've got people from building companies that want to join with their entire management team. Yep. We got people from big e-commerce platforms that are interested. We got several people from a big, how do you call it? Facilitaire dienstverlener. It's in Dutch, but they deliver cleaning services, reception services, security services to big companies. We got a great diversity of leaders, but what is the profile of someone who should join this masterclass?
Profile. My first thought is I hate the word profile because we start labeling and putting people in boxes.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to box anybody because the profile is, are you committed to be customer centric?
Yeah. You want to inspire others.
And you want to inspire others.
Yeah.
And you're open to learn. So on one hand, yes, there is no profile. On another hand, this is a senior conversation. So you want leaders who generally have the accountability and the responsibility that can go and make a difference in the organizations on the shop floor, or in the workshops. It doesn't exclude others, but it really is people that that are in the position to make the difference. It's a senior conversation. And they can go straight back to work and go and influence and go and have those right stakeholder conversations.
In my book, I write, it's for everyone who has an leading position or ambition.
Yeah.
But if you're committed to customer centricity and that is a passion of yours, and you are in you have the ability to inspire others with it.
Yeah.
You're in a position to do that, you will get immense value out of this masterclass.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Anybody just personally participating is going to get personal value regardless. But if you love the topic, there's no other place to be. There's no other place to be.
So if you want to know more about this masterclass, you can go to www.sydneybrouwer.nl/55. Those are the show notes for this episode. And you'll find the link to the masterclass. You'll find a flyer with more information about the location, about Morgan and myself, and about the contents of the masterclass. And you can also go to klantgerichtleiderschap.nl, which is the website about the book and also about the masterclass. You'll find everything there. If you have any questions, please drop me an email at sydney@sydneybrouwer.nl and I'll answer all your questions. I'll connect you to Morgan if you want to. And we hope to see you in September. Morgan, is there a question I should have asked, but I've forgotten?
Yeah, can't really think of a question you could have asked and forgotten. I think I've covered the main topics. I think the last thing I want to leave everybody with is you we're going to make it fun. You know, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Creating a culture is something that you want to ignite people, you want to excite people, you want to create an energy, you want to create a buzz, you're going to create fun. And I think that trumps it all. When people are generally enjoying themselves and grateful for what they got and having a lot of fun building a customer-centric environment and it comes aligned with the results, but it's not about the results. I think that's the main thing I want to leave everybody with. This is going to be a real joyous, fun journey and we're going to support and empower them to fulfill on their customer-centric dreams.
It's when you've seen Morgan or myself on stage, you know we have an energetic style. We have we like to laugh and we can be a little bit confronting sometimes, and that's also going to be in the masterclass. But you're going to have a tremendous 2 days and you're going to learn a lot in this intense customer-centric leadership masterclass. Morgan Thomas, thank you very much for this interview and looking forward to working with you again.
Thanks, Eddie.
En dat was hem dan, mijn gesprek met Morgan Thomas. Voor alle informatie over Morgan, over de masterclass, de beloofde flyer, ga je naar www.sydneybrouwer.nl/55. Dat is het cijfer 55. En daar vind je linkjes naar alles wat beloofd is. Ik wil je weer bedanken voor het luisteren. Ik hoop jou te zien binnenkort bij een sessie klantgericht leiderschap. Misschien wel bij de masterclass klantgericht leiderschap. Voor nu een hele fijne dag en succes met het verder uitbouwen van een nog betere klantbeleving.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar deze aflevering van Over Klanten Gesproken. Voor meer afleveringen en de show notes, kijk je op sydneybrouwer.nl/podcast. Graag tot de volgende keer.